Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Peace and blessings. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Vernon Muhammad, and I'm so glad that you could join me this Sunday evening. It's been a long time, and yes, you're correct. I shouldn't have left you without a strong rhyme to step to, but I'm glad we're back. We got so much catching up to do. There have been so many wonderful events weekend after weekend after weekend. From the beginning of August all the way up until now, and they're still going on. So we got a lot of catching up to do, and I'm excited about the guests that I have lined up for us today. We've got some things behind us, and we've got some good things ahead of us as well. So I wanted to share some of my joy with y'all. You heard a new opening song for us today. One of my favorite artists in the nation is going to be on with us in the second half of the show. Sister Connie Muhammad from Phoenix, Arizona. She is going to be joining us, and that was her song called Perfect Union, one of my favorites. I just love the message, and I think that she got a hit with that. So we're going to hear about the West Coast, West Side sound that she's going to bring. But first, I was blessed to attend a wonderful event. An awesome event. It's all about the youth, okay? I was blessed to attend the NAMES, and that's the, if I'm getting it correct, it's the National Association of Mathematicians, Engineers, and Scientists, if I have it correct. What they do is every year they put on a competition in the field of STEM. I haven't heard that. You know, I started hearing that term, that terminology, maybe a year or so ago, a year or two ago. But science, technology, engineering, and mathematics is all the rage, and there's a big push all across America to start exposing it to the youth of America. So, of course, there needs to be an extra push to expose Black youth in America to this particular field of endeavor. So the theme was innovation, the theme was creativity, and what could be invented in these areas. And on the line with us now, I actually have one of the participants, one of the members of NAMES. He can come on and let us know more about that organization, more about the wonderful event that we had an opportunity to attend on August 17th. So, Brother Atu.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, I like this morning, sir. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good like a winner should, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing well by Allah's permission, brother.
All right, all right. Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show. You were one of the people who were in attendance at the event that took place on August 17th. Why don't you share with us what that event was, what the organization you're part of is, and the association, and all that happened. What was that all about?
So you hit on the acronym in the beginning. It's National Association of Mathematics, Engineering, and Science. And Scuba brothers and sisters from all around the nation, all over the country. And what we did is we came together because we all are in some way involved in, you know, some sort of mathematics, science or engineering. We have a few program engineers. One sister, she's a biochemist. One brother's an electrical engineer. So we have different people from various fields that are related to mathematics, science, and engineering. And one of our first, I guess, products or projects was to be involved with the educational conference, which we've done, I believe, twice now. But the STEM competition is actually our first standalone competition. So, for lack of a better word, without riding on the back of, you know, another event such as Savior's Day or the educational conference. And the theme of this contest or this competition was the science of survival. So what we wanted to do was get the children or the contestants to focus on being innovative using science, mathematics, and engineering, and coming up with a solution based on this challenge. And the challenge was science and survival. So we had, I believe it was four challenge criterion or challenges. One was the science of or the survival based on lack of water or water challenge. The other was heating or heat and energy challenges. So you would be in a situation where you didn't have access to warm water or a way to cook food. Another one was transportation. We didn't have any participants to take the transportation survival, but in brief, that was just some way of improvising or using your surroundings to find a better way to get, you know, from point A to point B without a car or without gas. So that's it in a nutshell what the competition was. We definitely want to use this as a springboard to start some tutoring. Well, I wouldn't call it tutoring. I would call it mentoring. As you said earlier, we definitely want to get our youth more involved in you know, the engineering and the mathematics field, because that's something that you know, a lot of us shy away from. We need it, because we need that that innovation from our youth to help to build a nation. You know, this world, they make billions and billions, or I'll say millions of dollars based on the youth's ideas. A lot of the ideas that you see out here as far as products, they come from the minds of children, and wow, they capitalize on that. Well, we have the same mind within our nation, and one of our goals is to capitalize on that to help build the nation.
That is awesome, brother. I got to take my hat off and salute you for that, because in this world, especially in Black America, you know, our youth are learning how to twerk, how to get the latest tattoo. They're learning how to, you know, how to exactly wear their pants sagging just the right, you know, depth. or you know, exactly how low it can go. All of these other right. things that they're putting their time and energy and their minds are being shaped around, to see literally it was a room full of Black students, parents, and educators, and even some that were connected through the internet in other parts of the country, that were solely focused on the science of these areas, mathematics, engineering, technology, and science in general. That was very heartwarming, and I was, of all the things that I took part in for most of this month, that was the most impressive thing. I got to say, I'd love to see more and more and more of that. I was impressed early on in the year. I think I found out about the STEM competition, the Science of Survival Asia in a Box competition.
Yes, sir.
Early on in the year, maybe February or January is when it first came across my desk. Tell us, what is Asia in a Box? Because nobody answered that question for me yet.
Well, Asia in a Box, that was actually Sister Kasima's idea. And what Asia in a Box is, you know, I could be corrected as well, but from what she explained, Asia in a Box is a contest that's been held before, or a thing that's been used before, and it's basically, you know, the theme is you're in a place, and that place being, I guess, Asia, and what you're basically dropped off at this place, and then you have to figure out ways to survive. And so, you know, the Asia in the Box would be figure it out how to survive within this box. So you're basically taking a real world macrocosm of a situation and placing it in a small microcosm, and, you know, trying to figure out your way how to live in Asia I guess it can kind of play anywhere. We initially had thought about, theming it around a certain area, maybe mm-hmm. disaster in L.A., a flood in, down south in the Carolinas or something like that. But we thought the Age in the Box theme was a more broad theme.
That I really like that. You know, and over the past year or two in popular culture, the whole idea of survival training, being prepared for living beyond a catastrophic event is being played up more and more and more. They have this show that comes on, I think, the National Geographic Channel or the Discover Channel, one of them. It's called Preppers, Extreme Preppers, as a matter of fact. That's what it's called.
Yes, sir.
And it's all about these people that they take it to the umpteenth level. They're like, okay, the world's mm-hmm. against us. You know, everything is coming to an end, and civilization as we know it is no more. It's just us and our family. So how are we going to do
right.
it? And, yeah, you see people who've turned their home into like the inside of a Costco warehouse. They have everything you could possibly imagine needing for the next year or two. Some of them even go so far as to have rural locations where they're like, okay, mm-hmm. we have to leave our city. We're going to go out here. We're going to make ourselves survive. I saw this guy took this old pickup truck, and he said, okay, if I can't get to the gas station, I turn this pickup truck into a working vehicle, and it runs off of wood. So he had these chimneys in the bed of the pickup truck, and he would chop these trees. I don't know if they were just the kind of trees that grew on, you know, on his land, or you can use any kind of wood. But he chopped the trees, threw them in the furnace, you know, revved that joint up, and the pickup truck ran. So he was driving his pickup truck around his compound land there, and when he wasn't driving the truck, you know, he would throw the wood in there, and it would be a generator. He would just run it, and it would power everything that was going on inside their house. So that
right.
just blew me
right.
away that, you know, number one, there's people out there outside of our community that are thinking on this level, and believe you me, they're not thinking like, oh, you know, kumbaya, let's help out as many people as we can. They're stocking it with guns and you know, we got to protect ourselves because it's them against us. They never say who them and us is. But, you know, I ain't seen no black people on the show, suffice it to say. So
right,
just
right.
that, you know, and you and the organization name is putting its focus on black youth is phenomenal. I'm still blown away about that. Did you say that NAMES is the National Association of Mathematics, Engineering and Science is a black organization?
Yes, sir. It's primarily believers in the nation. And as I said, we're all over. We're located, you know, all over the country. We have a brother in Louisiana. We have a sister and a brother in Chicago. Brother Eddie, he's actually in Tennessee. I'm in Charlotte. We got a few more brothers and sisters. I can't tell you their location, but yes, we are primarily black.
All right. Well, that is even that. That's another surprise because, like I said, I just happened to see an announcement about the program and was directed to the website. And, you know, I didn't get much more information or hear much more about it after that. So I thought it was, you know, just another organization that we had tapped into, which I thought mm-hmm. was wonderful. We need to be thinking outside the box, but to see this type of creativity and innovation come from right within our own circle is phenomenal, brother. Just as we're having this conversation, you know, I'm being blown away.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's definitely, as you said, it's definitely needed. And then you spoke to, you know, we definitely have umpteen singers and umpteen rappers or, you know, those who want to be. And not enough analytical thinkers. And, you know, if you ever heard of, there's a, I don't know what you call it, it's a it's not cassette, but it's a set of CDs or music that they put out. I saw it at like Books a Million or something, but it's called music. It's called Baby Geniuses. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Okay, well, it's classical music, and as you know, the messenger told us that we should listen to classical music even while the baby's in the womb, and
right.
I had to ask myself, why is that? Well, if you're listening, you know, or you look at how classical music is put together, it's arranged mathematically, and when the mind listens to that kind of music, it's not focused on a lot of for lack of a better word, garbage that we put in as lyrics in our music. It's actually focusing on the arrangement of the music. And so that's how we are naturally. And somehow we've been strayed away from that because, of course, our schools, as the Minister said, are killing fields. And they're not focused on being analytical. They're focused on getting through. The teachers are focused on pushing them through. And, you know, as you don't learn one principle and you push through it to the next grade, then the errors are compounded. So then you think you just don't like math or you just don't like science. Well, it's not that you don't like math and you don't like science because you use it every day. You just don't know it. Even when you shoot a basketball, you're using some type of mathematics. You have to know that I have to use this much force to push this ball through this hoop at this distance, you know. It's just it's been given to us in a way that we don't want to eat it. So we're trying to refocus that, repurpose that for the youth, and give it to them in a way that they want to indulge.
I love that. I love that. Now, what was the age range of the contestants that you had at the competition?
So we had it was K-12. So and I believe we had four groups or four classes. I think it was grades 3 through 5, and then it was grades 7 through 9, I believe, and then 9 through 12.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we didn't have any high schoolers for this one. But as I said, this was our first stab at making that competition, and I think it went exceptionally well for it being the first time. And I know the students or the participants were excited. Those who came were very excited for the next one. And, you know, we're just going to try to keep pushing it for the next year, keep building on, what came out of this process, and try to make next year more exciting. And I did want to say, if you don't mind, Names is not just for the youth per se. We also are, our group wants to focus on not industry. We want to focus on building and problem solving and being solution oriented for various projects. So we're also in talks with Dr. Ridgely, who owns the farm, who's on the farm, and they have a few projects they would like for us to get our brains together, and try to tackle. So Names, we're definitely trying to be solution oriented and just solve problems.
That is awesome. Do you have to have a science, a math degree, engineering degree to become a part of the organization, or?
No, sir. I actually don't have. I actually am not an engineer. I work for an engineering firm. I've worked for four firms at this point in my life, but I do not have a degree in engineering. My degree is in construction management. I kind of phased over into the mechanical and electrical portion of that industry, and so I don't have that. I have the experience now. I know how to talk knowledgeably to other engineers about, you know, mechanical and electrical. But, you know, we have a lot of brothers and sisters, especially older or, you know, more experienced brothers and sisters who have been in the trade, you know, say, for instance, electrical or mechanical trades, and they know just as much practical knowledge about that field without the degree. So we don't shun anyone because, you know, what is a degree? You know, I know a lot of engineers that get out of school and they have to just basically relearn everything they've learned in school because, you know, school is the knowledge, the field is the understanding. And until you get to apply it, you don't really understand it.
I love that. I love that. I saw you remind me of this. I pay attention to the TED Talk, the Technology, Education, and Design conference where they have individuals, just regular people from all around the world come and they're given, you know, a limited amount of time. If you can change the world with your idea, you know, what would you say? So they just give them an audience and give them a platform. And there was this one individual who was some type of an engineer. I can't remember if he said he was an astrophysics engineer or whatever it was he was. He realized that it was funny. He said, "I don't know nothing." So instead of him just being an engineer, I think he lost his job. So he realized that he couldn't just do for himself. So he had to go and learn or do what he could do. He started out as a farmer. So he said, I need to just go ahead and go to the land and be a farmer. So he took his skills and his know-how and his ability to innovate, and he did what's called the Open Source Ecology Project. Now, here's an example of where all of this science and technology and all this stuff just comes to real everyday life. He decided he didn't want to work as an astrophysicist, engineer, whatever he was anymore. He turned back to the land and he said, "How can I invent everything that I need for the land?" No, I think he said at first he bought a tractor and he used the tractor, and then the tractor broke, and then he had to spend some money to fix the tractor, and then it worked again, so he used it some more, and then it broke again, so he had to spend some more money to fix the tractor, and then he was broke. So wow. I'm tired of being broke, so he said, "Let me use what I know to produce what I need." So he started to come up with all these designs for the 50 machines that any civilization, any society needs to build itself, to get up and running. So he open sourced these designs and got other people, you know, to weigh in from around the world, and they built tractors, working tractors. So instead of going to John Deere to buy a tractor, he had tractors that he built and did everything that John Deere tractor would build. He had brick making machines. He said in one day off of his own land, he could press 5,000 bricks. He had a hole digging machine. He had bread making machines. He just lined out the 50 things that you would need in terms of technology to run a society, the bare minimum. And I see that type of thinking. I see that type of creativity and innovation finally starting to come from our nation. That's the point of all that I'm saying. And you saying that you're working with Dr. Ridgely and that anybody can come on board and help with that, is phenomenal. There's nothing stopping us anymore.
Yes, sir. I agree 100%. I heard a brother say, I think it may have come from the minister. He said, you know, he asked the question, when will we get our own foot out of our own way? And, you know, we're trying to remove that proverbial foot from out of our own way now by, you know, several means and methods. But, hopefully this will be one, and hopefully we can get others to come in and join. Everyone is welcome. You don't have to have any degrees. You don't have to have any experience in engineering or mathematics. As I said, that is all relative. Mathematics we use every day, and we just don't know it. We hope to be a haven for idea generation and being able to help people to put their ideas, make their ideas in, to bring those ideas to life. And you know, unfortunately, we have a few people such as myself that have gone through the whole design process of taking a product idea from inception all the way through not a functional design, but an actual mock-up, just a design mock-up. But even that process, a lot of people are skittish about because they just don't understand. So hopefully we can help. We'll be able to help with that endeavor as well.
Awesome. Now, I got a few more questions for you because we're wrapping up the first segment of the show. And
okay.
I want to make sure that, you know, people get the information they need. One, before I really get into the contact information and whatnot, what's your vision? Where do you see this going within our nation, and where do you see it going, and what do you see it meaning for the masses of our people? You know, this organization and activities like the STEM competition.
Well, I see this going, as I said it before, I see us playing a role in all of the ministries, science and technology, trade and commerce, education. You know, I once said to Brother Eddie that, you know, science and technology, mathematics is, it applies to almost everything. You know, we don't do anything without it, from cooking to, education to travel. I mean, it pretty much has a place everywhere. And we want to build a brain trust, for lack of a better word, of brothers and sisters who have some type of experience or actual knowledge, whatever the case may be, whatever you have to offer, we'd like to use that. We would like to utilize what you have and helping to build a new world, because as we know, this world's not going to be here forever, but we don't want to wait until everything just crashes and then try and start building from the ground up. No. We want to put some things in place now to make that fall a little less reckless. So that's why I see names going, in the future.
All right. Good stuff. And the last two questions are, how can people, number one, who want to know more about names, find out how they can get involved? Where do they go? How do they get more information about what this is? And what can the rest of us do who are excited about this to promote it? Who do we need to go to? What should we be doing and saying so that we can get more of the right people aware of the existence of this group and its activities?
Well, we do have a website. It was primarily for the STEM competition, but the website is names, that's NAMES 2012, that's 2012.org. That's names2012.org. There's a contact us link there where you can submit your information or any questions or comments that you have, and someone will get back with you. We also have a Facebook page. It's names, acronym N period A period M period E period S period. It's names at Facebook. And I also have a Facebook page. It's I2 Trader Exhibit A is my Facebook page name. And from there, I think you can get contact from some. You'll get some kind of feedback from someone.
Okay. On Facebook, you said is it names family, because that's what I see. NAN.A.M.E.S.
Yes. So let me see here.
I see the name family.
No, sir. It is just names. It is just, it's NAMES, okay. So it's an acronym. So it's N period, A period, M period, E period, S period, and its names, and it'll have under it, I guess, the industry it falls under, engineering and construction.
Got you. Okay, good stuff. And for more of us who want to promote this and get it more known and more talked about, whether it's in our mosques or in our community, do we just bring the idea to our minister? Do we work through the Ministry of Technology, or how do we start to get activities going on in cities where there may not already be these types of activities? Work with the University of Islam, the independent schools, or what?
Well, I would say that is above. One way, because we do work with NUI as well. As you saw, brother, lost for his name, but he had the MUI. He did broadcast in for STEM competition, and we are working closely with him to collaborate in any way that we can. And, like I said, this is more of a springboard, and it is a work in progress, but, definitely your MUI, your local MUI, national MUI are places to start. If you have any ideas or any input that you would like to give, again, go to those, the website or one of the Facebook pages, and just shoot an idea. There's no idea that's too small or too big for us to at least look at. One of the reasons that we even started to talk about creating this group is because, we have a firm belief that we have everything that we need within this nation. We have all the engineers, we have all the doctors, we have everything we need. No one knows who is. We're hoping, like I said, to build a brain trust, and I don't know any other way for us to get a hold of you other than you contact us or go through your local MUI, maybe.
Got you. All right. Well, good stuff. God willing, we will see you at the Holy Day of Atonement and Savior's Day, and we look forward to some really, really good things coming out of this association and these activities that are going on right in our own nation. So thank you for joining me on the No Romance About Finance show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for having the show. Period, brother. You're enlightening to me as well.
Thank Allah. All praises due to Allah. All right, we're going to go to our break, and what we're going to do is come back on the other side of the break. We're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we're going to go into our second segment, which is going to feature good sister Connie Muhammad. And going into our break, I guess I'm going to make sure that we hear a little bit of her next jam. This is called Armageddon.
Going down.
All right, welcome back to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show, and I'm your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad, and we want to let you know about our sponsor, Freedom Paper Company, LLC. For those of you who don't know, especially in this climate where inside the nation and throughout America talk of business and economics and the economic blueprint, trade and commerce, you know, starting entrepreneurship and getting that going as a culture among our people and what the opportunities, where the opportunities are amongst us. More and more the need for us to seriously contemplate cooperative economics and buying black is becoming more and more and more important. Well, brothers and sisters from the Nation of Islam have gotten together and have formed what is now the nation's premier manufacturer, the nation's premier black manufacturer. That means there's only one. There's only one black manufacturer of bathroom tissue in America. And guess where we came from? Right here in our own nation. Freedom Paper Company manufactured bathroom tissue. We're distributors of paper products, both residential, personal paper products like paper towels, facial tissue, bathroom tissue that you would use in your home, as well as commercial janitorial and sanitation supplies that would go into a school, restroom, daycares, medical facilities, things of that nature, all from right within our own nation. Okay, trade and commerce is something that we must begin to push and push at every avenue we can. So when you think about buying these items, bathroom tissue, paper towels, trash bags, think about buying them from your brothers and sisters. Do business with your people. Support your people. Support black businesses so that we can, in turn, have resources and businesses and enterprises that now support our community. Okay, so visit the website, www.freedompapercompany.com. Make sure that you look for what's being offered there. And when it's time to purchase these items, make sure you purchase them directly from the website or look for a local distributor in your city. And if there's no distributor in your city, that is an untapped market. So take advantage of the opportunity when you realize it's there. All right. During the break, you were listening to Sister Connie Muhammad, and she was singing her song, Armageddon. This is, I think this is off of her last album. I know she's working on a new project. But what I want to do is I want to play the interview that I did with Connie Muhammad last night, Sister Connie Muhammad from Phoenix, Arizona. So this is a we pre-recorded the interview because she couldn't be available today. But listen to what the sister has to say about business, the business of independent music, and how those of us who are in the business of arts and culture can begin to focus on what happens when we're off stage and use that to grow our love and our passion for what it is we do. All right. We are here with Sister Connie Muhammad from Phoenix, Arizona. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Connie.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
So I hear you have a lot of irons in the fire. I hear you got some big things in the works, and you're here to tell us some of what you have going on.
I've been busy, praise due to Allah. So, yes, I have.
All right. Well, before we get into it, let me explain my experience with you. I came to find out about you and the music that you were promoting. I think it was on Facebook, right? It wasn't on Twitter. Somewhere online, I think it was Facebook.
Probably so, yeah. I'm not... One moment.
I just stopped screaming. I'm on the phone.
Hopefully you can edit that out. why are they screaming as soon as I got on the phone?
Okay, could you leave her alone? Go back and do what you were doing. Go back and do...
All right. Peace and blessings. Welcome back to the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm here with our guest for the next segment, a good sister, a wonderful artist. I'm thoroughly impressed with what I've heard from her. This is Sister Connie Muhammad from Phoenix, Arizona. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Connie.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
To the No Romance About Finance show. I've been trying to get you on this show for a long time. I'm glad to have
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
It's been a minute, but we finally made it happen. So I hear you have quite a few items in the fire, right?
Yes, sir, I do. Praise you to Allah.
Yes, indeed. You're busy working on multiple fronts. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you have going on?
Well, right now I'm getting ready to visit Harlem and be a part of the Million Youth March Convention, and just to be there is just really going to be really a blessing for me, because coming from where I am now, the culture is nothing like, you know, such a mass black culture like that. And to be able to really be around our people and really know for sure, you know, really know for sure that our people are ready for change, and that there's actually some of us who are ready to provide that and ready to really start that and help our Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the work that he has been doing, you know, for over 30 years, you know, that is finally gaining ground in the minds of our people. So it's really exciting. And so, inshallah, I'll be performing there and just getting all that good stuff and bringing it back. Bringing it back to the West Coast, and I'll be working on my new album, Sound Doctrine Part 2, and very excited about that. And I do a lot locally in Phoenix as far as just helping to elevate the culture and giving artists opportunities for artist development and performing and things of that nature. So I have a showcase that I work on, and we have a shows that we do every single month, and it's really more so for the sisters. So it's exciting for them to be able to have the understanding of a woman artist to help them, you know, through the beginning stages. And so I'm also, that's also something that I've been working on. And I was supposed to be at the Do For Self Music Conference that took place last weekend. And that didn't pan out. It's the time frame was just a really bad time frame, so I didn't get to go to that. But Allah planned, and He's the best of planners. So, but from what I understand, that went well. Went, you know.
Hello, Sister Connie. Uh oh, I think we lost Sister Connie. She just dropped off.
Are you there?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What happened?
My baby just pulled it out. She just pulled it out. Okay, so but a brother Vaughn Muhammad had put on a beautiful event in Atlanta, Georgia, helping to mobilize and galvanize some artists like myself who are in the Nation of Islam or affiliated with the Nation of Islam and want to have more information on growth and how to be able to distribute their music and target their audiences using social media and other things of that nature. So that happened last Saturday. And so from what I understand, that went really well. Yes, sir.
That's good stuff. You're talking, you know, you're talking my language. You come to the No Romance Without Finance show, and the main thing that I want to put the focus on is business and you know, the stuff that happens probably off stage and away from the limelight. And we're going to get into the conversation a little ways later, because I want to mm-hmm. come back to what you were talking about with distribution and how you use social media and whatnot to get your product, which is your, you know, your music and what you do out there. So
yes,
we can touch base on that. But I want to start the conversation out, number one, by giving you accolades. Anytime there's an artist who is going to put it on the line in the world that that we live in. You know, when you talk about being an artist, being an entertainer, you pretty much have to give up a lot of ground in order to the variety of success or the fame that you're really going for. And for someone to really stand and be principled and then lend your talent, lend your energy to a cause that's bigger than yourself, something like the Million Youth March, that's significant. So I want to give you a big up and an original salute for that. That means a whole lot, and I want to encourage that, and hopefully I'll see you doing more and more of that.
Thank you, sir. Praise be to Allah. And, you know, we just are just thankful when Allah wants to use us in any particular way that can help others outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. I'm on the phone.
Why do children scream, like, right when you get on the phone? I don't understand that.
Programming, I don't know. You know, you have my next question, this is right on time, really. How do you balance work life, family life, you know, all the different aspects of who Sister Connie is? How does all that come into play?
Well, my husband is, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had an answer, right?
Oh, go ahead. Go on with it.
Yes, sir. My husband, you know, really has helped to make a lot of things possible. When we met, I was working on Shahada, and all I had was some songs and maybe a couple pictures, and that's all I had and an idea. And he was like, well, is this going to work? I was like, well, I don't know. Let's see. And, you know, so he's been with me pretty much from the beginning, so he understands, and we're able to, you know, balance our responsibilities. He has a lot of knowledge as far as with communications, all the technical stuff, equipment. So, you know, musical equipment, he got me started with producing my own music, because before I was trying to buy music, and that's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. He bought me programs, you know. We pretty much learned how to use them together, but he was very instrumental. So he's a huge force as far as stability, and also helping me to grow, you know, helping me to know that I can do things that I may have not thought I can do, because his major thing is keeping it in-house as much as we can. If we can do our own music, well, then let's do that. If we can do our own recording, let's do that, you know, just because economically, you know, it's nice to go to a $100 an hour studio, but who's going to pay for that, you know? you know, he helps with a lot of that. And you know, just to address what you had said before, you know, we named the record label Sacrifice Life Records. And I'm surprised that more people don't ask why. They might think that they know why. But there's a lot of sacrifices that go in it. Me in particular, the sacrifices that I've had to make, you know, I had a fan base, but my fan base was based on, you know, gangster rap and what I was doing before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people contacting me from other countries for the music that I was doing before. So, you know, I had to actually forsake that fan base. Mm. And you wonder, you know, I'd like to bring to question anyone who questions, you know, what I do or why I do or whatever, you know, because it may seem like I came out of nowhere to most people. That's understandable. But, I you know, I actually haven't, and having to forsake an entire fan base and the monies or whatever that could have came from that, you know, that's definitely something that holds weight, you know, as far as sacrifice, because that's what it's about, you know, forsaking something that you could have probably benefited something from, but for something greater, or understanding and believing that it's for something greater. So, you know, I'm thankful to Allah to, you know, make that apparent to me, and help me to understand that, and just to keep in that line, you know, because I see, you know, what, you know, even on the social media, you could see how people react to just really sex, pretty much.
mm-hmm.
you know, the natural need for that and how just the reptilian brain just kicks in and it just, you know, gets people in a frenzy. They say sex sells.
Right.
So to forsake that and to try to dig deeper, because it takes more time, takes more of your artistic power and seeking, trying to do that, you know, to bring something forth in the music, it's definitely all part of that sacrifice. So, and that's for any artist that do what we do. You know, I really would love if there were more things like what Brother Von did last weekend at the Do For Self Music Conference, to get that across to people, because I don't know if that's always understood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more so like, oh, look what they're trying to do. They're trying to sing about the minister, or they're trying to sing about, you know, Brother Khaled or whatever.
Right,
you know,
right.
And the motives are always questioned. Well, you know, you just want to be known in the nation or whatever. You know, so your motives get questioned. Well, at the same time, many of us are making a lot of sacrifices to do this type of music. So, you know, it really would help for, you know, believers to understand that. And I think that people outside of these organizations understand that quicker than the people on the inside of these organizations. And that's just a learning curve, because this type of music is fairly new. So, you know, those are just some things that, you know, you have to overcome as an artist that does, you know, the type of music that I do. And it's just totally just kind of just giving your will to Allah for whatever it is, you know, whatever it is you want to do. So I had no idea that anyone would really catch on to it or appreciate it. I had a sister tell me on another interview like this that she knows believers that only allow their children to listen to my music.
Wow.
And that just knocked me out my shoes, because I didn't know that, you know, it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted it to be. Just
right.
Listen to me. But I had no idea that it was like that. So, you know, you never know the impact you're making as well.
Right, right. That's true. So you got to take that desire that God put in your heart and run with it, really. You know, we can limit ourselves. We can stop ourselves from actually achieving what it is that is meant for only us to achieve. Or we can turn that around. You know, because people outside of you, outside of your group, your inner circle, they're going to say what they're going to say anyway, you know.
True.
You can have the best of intentions, and people are going to label you this, label you that, and show you, you know, why you shouldn't be doing it, whatever the case may be. If what you, I reference back to the Million Man March. I was at the Million Man March. I was in the
mm-hmm.
nation at that time. And I always think of all of the things that could have been said to the people who attended the march. The minister had to take a very significant pledge, and the criterion, or, you know, the qualifier for all those points in the pledge was what we were doing or what we pledged to do had to be good for ourselves, good for our family, and good for our people. And as long as you meet that criterion, you're doing the will of God. So with what
That's
you're
right.
doing with music, with what you're doing in trying to manifest, you know, the gifts and the talent and the vibrations that Allah put inside of you, bring it out. The world needs it. I know that I felt it when I heard it. So please keep on doing what you're doing. You raised some interesting points, and I certainly want to hear. I'm curious now about, you said Brother Vaughn down in Atlanta. I'm curious about what was the name of the event that he did?
Oh, I'm sorry. DFS for Do For Self Music Seminar.
Music Seminar. I'm curious.
Do For Self. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a new thing for somebody to come out of what's called secular music and go into, you know, we had lots of examples of people going into gospel or getting away from doing the rap as it was done back in the day, and now they're only trying to do something that's positive with it, or going from hip-hop you know, as industry is and going into neo soul, something totally different. You know, that's not a new thing, but it really does take courage, and it really does take some know-how and skill and navigation to do that. What are the challenges other than the fact that, you know, you have people who like what you used to do and they don't, you know, they're not really into what you're doing now? What are some of the challenges that you face trying to just establish your presence and get your work out there on this side of the equation now?
Well, well, I always wanted, now you're right, there's always, you know, positive artists out there, and they have been ever since, you know, my parents were children, you know, like Mahalia Jackson and people like that.
Right.
What I wanted to do is I wanted to have music that was targeted for the believers. I wanted to have music that we can enjoy that elevated to a state for others to see the culture of the Nation of Islam, because that's what I knew. And I always would see that popular media pretty much blacked us out.
Mm.
You know, you could watch all the Tyler Perry movies, but he's not hardly going to mention really any Muslim group, really.
Right.
You know, and that sort of thing. So, I've changed my mind a little bit, but that's what I wanted when I first come out with Shahada, my first album along those lines. That's what I wanted. I was targeting specifically the believers and registered Muslims within the Nation of Islam, because I was tired of, you know, getting into people's car and hearing them listening to not only secular music, but really badly, you know, really negative lyrics. With a lot of innuendo that I was like, I don't know if they're just not catching it, or because everyone doesn't listen to music the same way. And I think that musicians listen to music a little bit differently. You know, we are very meticulous in how we listen, because we put together, it's like someone that builds a houses. They're not going to look at a house the same way someone that doesn't build houses. You know, they're going to look at the molding and the countertops and the flooring and all that, you know. But someone that actually builds homes for a living, they're going to look at it, you know, very meticulously. So by doing that and just a little experiences that I had in mosque life, I said, well, wow, we really need music that is in line with our culture, because this is not fitting what I'm seeing in our children, what our children are listening to. This is not fitting. So that's what I wanted to do at that time. Since then, I've kind of wanted to expand, because I do understand, and I don't want to put a barrier up with all the barriers that we have as black people. And I don't want to put a religious barrier up where you feel like you cannot relate to me because I'm a Muslim woman, or I can't relate to you because, you know, we put these barriers up and very quickly build defenses where we just don't listen to each other, and we don't want to you know, take part in what he, you know, or any type of coexistence. So,
I was gonna ask that, because as I do this show, I don't know why, but when brothers or sisters from the Nation of Islam come on, we think we're the only ones who are talking, and we're only talking to ourselves. So, you know, the audience for this show is people who are in the Nation of Islam, people who aren't in the Nation of Islam, people who are Muslim, people who aren't Muslim. How do I want to ask this question? How important is it when you're doing the kind of work that you're doing? You know, you're putting out, the artist in society is very important, because you really are shaping thinking. You got to take into account that you know you're shaping multiple minds. You know, everybody thinks the same way. So how important is it to be cognizant of the fact that you can't keep yourself in a box, and you can't approach people like, you know, they're in the box. You can't approach people to keep them in the box.
Yes. Yes, it's very important. You know, I look at the example of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, and I always have, and when you look at any special engagements that he takes part in, he has people from all walks of life on stage with him. And, you know, and it's got to be, you know, it's there for you to see. It's very plain for you to see. There's people from, you know, the Moorish community or from the Black Panthers, or there might even be a white man up there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people from all walks of life, so it doesn't make any sense to, if you're going to make any kind of impact on others, to, yes, segment yourself off in a way that may be taken as unapproachable, you know, or you're not able to be questioned about your beliefs. Some people don't like to be questioned, and I went through that phase too. I didn't like to be questioned at all. I think it's a question of maturity when you're maturing a little bit and you get more, because I think what it is being defensive and not wanting to, not really being 100% secure in what you believe in, because if you are, then you don't need to have the barrier up. But if you are not, and you have a subtle fear, or maybe you're not quite so sure, or maybe you're not sure how to defend what you believe in, then you're afraid. So that fear causes you to segment yourself off and be afraid to talk to others or interact with others. I have to, you know, in what I do in the music, I'm with pretty much all types of people. You know, you may deem them lost, found. Some are, you know, from all walks of life. I deal with all types of people, you know. And but I'm pretty sure that they know who I am. You know, it's pretty plain. I'm a pretty much an open book. I'm not trying to hide anything. But I do it in a way where I don't make it, you know, I will pretty much mention Minister Farrakhan pretty much in every show I do, or you might hear him on one of my tracks, but I don't do it to try to make you feel uncomfortable. You know, I just do it just like, you know, just slide it in there a little bit, and almost where it's subconscious, where it just goes, they heard it, but, you know, it's not, I'm not going to stand there and rant and rave that, you know, about Minister Farrakhan, because for the most part, our people do love and appreciate him. What they're looking at now is the followers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yes, you're right. You know, we can't put ourselves in a box, and I don't think I was ever in putting myself in a box, but I was targeting a certain audience at a certain point in time, and then you have to make adjustments and target, you know, either a larger audience, you know. So that's where I'm at now, just trying to target a larger audience where, you know, people can appreciate whether they're registered Muslims or not.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, the time is just flying, and we got about a half an hour left with this. Two subjects that I want to get into and give them enough time. One, again, because we focused on the business aspect of what you're doing here. When it comes to distribution, because I'm in the bathroom tissue business, I'm understanding the different phases. There's manufacturing, you know, there's wholesaling, there's retailing. A part of business that many of us don't seem to understand or don't seem to get is that significance of distribution. How are you going to get what you have out there to the people? We don't get distribution, we don't get marketing. You know, it's kind of like overlooked 90% of the time. But how are you looking to make sure that distribution of what you do, what you get, gets out there to the people? Are you aiming to actually, you know, produce product that actually gets out there in the hands of as many people as you can, or are you going to be the type of artist that you like doing live performances, live shows? You know, there's a difference. What's your product?
Yes. that's an awesome question. So what I found out is I was kind of going around in a circle because I really had a lot, like I said, it's a learning curve for me. I had a lot that I had to learn. And with digital distribution, there's different outlets now that will actually bundle your music or bundle different sites that they will distribute your music to so that just about all of the major sites will have it. So I have not done this yet, but I plan to do this with my next album for sure, inshallah.
Okay.
And as far as performing, yes, that's a definite, but there's some major components with that because you got to be able to get to different places. So
right.
We got that covered, right. But just to give some information, there's one called Discmakers. And Discmakers, now wouldn't it be nice if we owned all of these companies? Yes, it would, but we don't.
Mm.
So we got to work, you know, we got to work with who we got to work with. But Discmakers has a great thing that they offer where it's a distribution bundle. And you give them your finished work, and they'll first get your finished work to CD Baby. CD Baby sells hard copy CDs. So
right.
They'll get them to them, get them some copies. But they'll also get your downloads on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Rhapsody for live streams. So that is where you're, you know, and that's pretty much all the major ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they also can, huh?
They take care of that for you?
They do. And they also can make your CDs available in stores, but I'm not quite sure, haven't got to that point of how that works yet.
Mm-hmm.
But like stores like Walmart, Target, Best Buy, that I'm not so much concerned with because, you know, let's be real, you know, people aren't really going to stores and buying as many CDs. You know, the deal is you just want to download a song that you like. So that's mostly what people do. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting it on those sites is great. Reverb Nation, which is a site that I'm on, also has a plan like that, that kind of bundles and puts stuff different places. But I'm not going to go through Reverb for that because I don't know. I'm not too sure about that. I've heard more good things with Discmakers and other. And Discmakers actually makes CD. They actually manufactures your CDs as well. And you can get nice packages from them. So, you know, if we can get things like this within our community to do these type of things, that'll be great. But right now, I don't know of any. So,
well,
you know, you have to work with.
And what creates the supply? So more voices like yours come to the airwaves and say, hey, you know, this is where we are in our development in the industry, you know.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody soon pops up and says, hey, we got a way to do it now.
Right.
All right.
Exactly. So that was something that I was, I had been just not quite sure how I wanted to do that. So the last couple of albums, you know, were just pretty much selling at different expos and Savers Day and things like that. So I wasn't quite sure because I didn't want to. There's a such thing as overexposure. I didn't want to do an overexposure with material that I wasn't quite sure yet. If it was targeted for the nation, it doesn't need to be on some of those sites, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So this one would be ready for that.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm glad to see you making the progression and realizing that there is a progression if you're serious about your art and your craft, you
yes,
know?
Sir.
So I'm looking forward to some more good stuff coming from you. Now,
great
let's
song.
Get back into the conversation. Get back into the conversation about the balance that goes on. I understand you said you had a good, strong brother that makes a way for you. How valuable is that? And what are the other components that go into just juggling every aspect of life that there is to juggle? I mean, whether you're man, woman, boy, girl, child, whatever the case may be, everybody's got stuff they got to juggle. So first, me, I'm always listening and looking for whoever I talk to, for how they go about juggling in life, because that is one aspect of life I'm certain that nobody can get away from. And if you're talking finance, you're talking no romance without finance, you're talking business, you can't get away from the fact that you have to have some type of a system to do what it is you do and to do it effectively. So what's your system? How do you roll?
My husband calls us Team Muhammad. He said we're going to get T-shirts made.
Wow.
So that's pretty much it, you know. You have to be a team. And when it comes to your dream or any particular inspiration, you have to really be, you know, it kind of takes a certain kind of personality. Mm-hmm. And I am very, very determined. Like, mm-hmm. It takes a lot. It pretty much nothing will stop me. I pretty much use adversity as traction to keep going.
Mm.
So I don't know, you know, that's just my personality. The more adversity I get, the more traction I'm going to get, then I'm going to keep going.
Mm.
Maybe because my dad used to, like, he would take us out jogging, and then the more it hurt, he'd be like, the going get tough, the tough get going. So I don't know if he implanted that in our brains, but so that's how I am. You know, I of course I have my moments, and when I do, then there's a shoulder, you know, and he's there to lift me up. But for the most part, for what I'm aspiring to do, you know, it's pretty much, I'm pretty much determined. And you just kind of got to have a system, you know, whatever can work for your household. They say it takes a village. If you have, you know, friends and family that's willing to help, that's wonderful. If you don't, that's okay. You know, make it work. Mm-hmm. You know, find people and make it work. So if you're serious about what it is you're trying to do. And as far as economics, we did a lot of downsizing. We just noticed that, you know, for the most part, you know, especially in our community, and really they're breaking up our community. So when I say our community, I'm just talking about the collective black community.
Right. Right.
We love to look good. They say you like to look good and lose, but instead of look bad and win. So we love to look good, have the big expensive phones and, you know, the huge mortgages and rentals and all that, but be losing, you know. So we did a lot of downsizing, and it helped us to win in the long run, and because we, once again, had to sacrifice on some things.
Mm.
So, you know, that's something that also takes some maturity. And when you do get, you know, something that you can work with, some economic windfall, get the things that really can help you, you know, instead of just only getting clothes and shoes and having fun, you know, get things that can really help you in this endeavor.
Understand, so, you're really dealing with an asset versus a liability.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Got you on that. Okay. Well, good stuff. I can relate to so much that you said. You know, my mind keeps going back to, you know, you having a desire to produce the kind of good music that we needed to have produced, because there's nothing to get into a car, or, you know, I'm thinking back into a car,
yeah,
and hear somebody talking about rolling down the street, smoking whatever, and, you know, sipping on this and that. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on now.
Yeah, let's go back to the mosh.
You're right.
Let's try this again. Yes, sir.
To hear more and more of the things that automatically make me say, yeah, I can play this for my children, you know.
Right.
And also, oh, let me put this out there, especially this. There's some people who perform who, you know, say they're going to come out with their album or whatever the case may be. And this is my critique of some of the artists. You know, everybody got to raise the bar a little bit. They'll put something out there, and I understand, you know, we want to talk about where it is we come from and what it is we represent now. But there's got to be some way to sharpen our skills. If you're an MC, then lyrical flow and how you deliver, all that stuff needs to be tight. You know, if you're a singer, it's great that you just
yes, sir.
You sing and you know, weave the word Muhammad in there, but, you know, somehow you got to make it flow. And, you know, just because you have a voice doesn't mean that you're using it properly, you know.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, make music and make music that's going to touch people's hearts and that actually sounds good. You know, when you hear something, you should be able to say, wow, that's tight. You know,
yes.
And I think that, that artists that come out of the Nation of Islam should, you know, should we shouldn't be able to say that any less than when
that's
Beyonce
right.
got title, when, you know, the latest hip-hop artist, Common, came out with something and everybody loved it, then there should be an MC in the Nation that does something that's like, yeah, that's it. You know, everybody's talking about Kendrick Lamar. Shoot, I'm talking about Problem 13 because he's tight.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not bumping Beyonce in my car. I bump
right.
Perfect Union in my car by Connie Muhammad because that's
it.
So we're looking to get much more of that come out. I'm going to make sure that as we end the show, I go ahead and play my favorite song. We're going to definitely jam and let people know the talent that is Connie Muhammad. But let us know also, again, some of the items that you have coming up, some of the events that you have coming up, and where people can find you, where people can find your music, and whatever else you're doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, next 2 weeks, we'll be in Harlem, New York at the Million Youth March on September 7th. And I also, so that's an entire convention starting on the 5th through the 7th.
That's not just a one-day thing?
I don't know, sir. There's panel discussions. There's, you know, there's been some, you know, with our people are sometimes disillusioned with marches and, like, not another march. But, you know, Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz has been very forthright in their seven-point plan of action, I think that's what it's called, and it's very detailed in how they want to address these problems in our community. So I appreciate it, and, you know, we're supporting it. And they invited the minister, unlike the March on Washington.
Right, right.
So we're there. And I also put on a show every month in Phoenix, Arizona. It's called The Feminine Project. And that takes place every last Sunday of the month at The Lost Leaf, which is an art gallery. It's a slash art gallery slash nightclub in Phoenix, Arizona, downtown Phoenix. So every last Sunday of the month, you can check out new upcoming female talent with the Feminine Project. And I've got a lot of, you know, shows that I'm doing there as well, but that's just majorly what I'm working on. And then I'm just going to kind of go into hiding and finish my album because I think I've had a lot of other things on my plate that's keeping me from doing that. So that should be coming. I'll have a single coming in October called Deceit. And then the entire album should be coming towards the Savior's Day 2014. So, and that's Sound Doctrine Part 2.
Nice. All right. Well, you got some good stuff lined up for us. I tell you what, I'm going to be, for the rest of the night, I'm going to be bumping Perfect Union, Lucid, Armageddon, all of that good stuff.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
That kind of a night. So I thank you for joining us on the No Romance Without Finance show. Oh, do you have a website?
Right now, yes, it's under construction, so you can't actually go to it. And I will shoot that to you as soon as it's done. But right now, you could check me out on Reverb Nation. That's my most complete music page on Reverb Nation, Connie Muhammad.
Gotcha. All right. And I'm sure you have Facebook presence, Twitter. Where are you there?
Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. Everything but Instagram. I just don't quite get Instagram, so it kind of went over my head. But, yeah, I'm most of the sites I'm on.
Got you. And they can just look for Connie Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you so much, Sister Connie. I appreciate you giving me your time and joining me on the No Romance Without Finance show.
Thank you, Brother Vernon.
Let's make sure that when that new album comes out, you come on back and share some of it with me, all right?
I will. Yes, sir, inshallah.
All right, my sister. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a blessed evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Pardon me.